few. Now, let me tell you this, and I say it with love in my heart. You'll never know much about your Bible if it's tuned in to listening only. Now, listening is very important. But equally important is opening up your Bible and seeing what the Word of God has to say. For many times, if you do that, God will speak to your heart through His Word. And the message this morning is so very important about how the Lord saves sinners. And it's a lengthy reading, not too lengthy, but there are several verses in it. And this brother has offered to help me by reading this passage. So, Brother Phil, you announce the reference and read the scripture, and I will bring the message, the Lord willing.
Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse number 31. These are the words of our Lord. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject of the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. The subject in Matthew chapter 25 is the second coming of Jesus Christ. You cannot miss that if you study what our brother has just read for you. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you on the subject of the second coming of Christ. And in this passage of Matthew 25, there are three kingdom teachings that are presented in the passage. Number one is the parable of the 10 virgins, verses 1 through 13. Second, there is the parable of the servants, verses 14 through 30. And number three is the teaching of the sheep and the goats in verses 31 through 46. In the first passage, there are two kinds of people mentioned, the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. The wise virgins are received in verse 10, but the foolish virgins are denied in verses 11 and 12. In the second passage, there are two kinds of servants mentioned, the faithful servants and the unfaithful servants. The faithful are rewarded in verse 21, and the unfaithful are rejected in verse 30. In the third passage, there are two kinds of people mentioned, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are received in verse 34, but the goats are rejected in verse number 41. There are several places in the Bible where people are likened unto certain animals. Paul called the Judaistic teachers dogs because they believed in salvation by legalism and keeping the law. In Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the circumcision. Christ called false teachers wolves in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. John the Baptist, not the most successful and acclaimed preacher in the Bible, but he called the Pharisees snakes. Matthew 3:7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Christ, our Lord, called Herod a fox. In Luke chapter 13, verse 32, he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. The Pharisees came to Christ and they said, Herod said, You better get out of town because he's put a death contract out on you. And if you stay, he's going to kill you. To which the Lord Jesus said, You go tell that fox. Now, every word in your Bible is the verbally inspired word of God. There are male foxes and there are female foxes. Jesus Christ chose not to use the masculine describing the fox here. It is a female fox. And he's speaking this to one of the great rulers of the land. He said, You go tell that female fox. I love that. I love that. Go tell that female fox, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Peter called apostates. Now, apostates are people who claim to be one thing, but in the end times, they fall away from the truth. In 2 Peter 2:22, it happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Here in our text, we find the term sheep and goats. The sheep represent believers who have been saved by the grace of God, and the goats represent unbelievers who have never been saved. Now, you need to listen carefully. Goats do not become sheep, and sheep do not become goats. Once a goat, always a goat. Once a sheep, always a sheep. God creates goats, and the same sovereign God creates sheep. Now, notice first of all the time element of this passage in verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. When does this event happen that we're looking at today? Has it already taken place, or will it take place in the future? It will take place at the second coming of Christ, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. That has not happened yet. When Christ came the first time, He came in poverty. He came in shame. And He came and His own received Him not. But when He comes the second time, He will come in glory after the great tribulation. The first exciting news item in prophecy, the first exciting news item in Bible prophecy for God's people is the rapture of the saints. And one day the Lord's coming back. He's not coming back to the earth. Before that, He's going to stop in the clouds, not coming to this earth, but He's going to take His people out of this earth, and they're going to join Him up in heaven. And the unsaved that are on this earth are going to go through 7 years of great tribulation period. And at the end of the seven great days and years of tribulation, the Lord will come back with His saints to set up His kingdom on this earth and to be glorified. It will happen when He sits on the throne of His glory. Isn't that what it says? Then, after the tribulation, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory. Ever since Christ ascended back into heaven 2,000 years ago, He's described as being seated at the Father's right hand. And the reason for that is because He is seated as our high priest, continually making intercession for the sins of His people. This is because His main work as that of a high priest is doing just that. But I'm happy to report to you today that one day He will sit on the throne promised to Him by His Father. Luke 1, 30 through 32. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David." Now, dear friends, David never sat on the right hand of anybody. I've heard some preachers who need a little education, I think, as well as myself, on many things in the Bible. I hope I'm clear on this. I believe I am clear on this. That when the Lord Jesus is at the Father's right hand, it's not talking about David being at the Father's right hand. David never was at the Father's right hand. David was always on His throne. So our Lord will assume this new position when He comes the second time, when the enemies are made His footstool. Acts 2, 34 through 35, the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand." How long is He going to be seated on the right hand of God the Father? "Until I make thy foes thy footstool." And when that happens, my friend, the Lord will come back from heaven with the previously raptured saints and come back to this earth, and He will sit on the throne that God the Father had promised unto Him. That's in a nut the explanation of the passage. Now, number two, the judgment of the passage. You'll find that in verses 32 through 34. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" When that occurs, my dear friends, the nations of people shall stand before Him. In verse number 32, that word "nations" comes from a Greek word "ethnos," from which we get our English word ethnicity, and it refers to the Gentile nations. Now, it's interesting that you note this. Of these Gentile nations, some are sheep, and some are goats. And the sheep and the goats shall stand before him. Ethnos, interesting word. It's translated people two times in the New Testament. It's translated heathen five times in the New Testament. It's translated nations 64 times in the New Testament. And it's translated Gentiles 93 times in the New Testament. The nations of the earth, sheep and goats, will stand before him. Our Lord will divide the sheep from the goats, verse number 33. He'll set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Notice carefully, our Lord has a title change here. No longer from Son of Man, but to King. Verse 34, then not shall the Son of Man say unto them, but then shall the King say unto them. You remember when dying Stephen called the Lord Jesus the Son of Man. Just before he died, he said, I see the Son of Man standing at the Father's right hand. But here, my dear friends, at the judgment of the nations, he's not the Son of Man. The title is changed. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here we see our Lord as King sitting on his throne. The kingdom was prepared for the sheep from the foundation of the world. They are admitted into it. He said to the sheep, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what your Bible says. Now, if the Bible you got doesn't say that, chunk it away and get you a King James version of the Word of God. Every word is verbally inspired, and notice these sheep were prepared. The kingdom was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. That's a long time, isn't it? But the goats are consigned into hell. Verse 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, what is the basis for this acceptance, this rejection? What is the premise that God operates on, the King will operate on, when he separates the sheep from the goats? And I'll not reread what Brother Phil has already read for your hearing, but that's covered in verses 35 through 46. But notice the summation of it is that the sheep are accepted. Verses 35 through 40. And the goats are rejected in verses 41 through 46. Salvation is by grace, not by benevolence. This passage is not teaching that if one gives to benevolent causes and shows kindness to people in trouble, he'll be admitted to heaven. My dear friend, a lot of folk are very benevolent toward the needs of other people, but they don't know Christ and they're going to go to hell. We're not saved by our benevolence. Our admission to heaven is not dependent on anything that we do. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And here's a good Baptist verse for you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I hope you're listening to that. I hope the Holy Spirit will use that and pierce your heart with it, because it is so vital and so true. Now listen to me carefully. The basis of this judgment we're looking at this morning, it'll be based upon the Gentile reception of the ministry of 144,000 Jewish missionaries that God is going to send out during the tribulation period. The responses of the people to the message of these 144,000 missionaries. He uses the term in verse 40, done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. The brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ are spoken of in a physical way, his physical brethren. Jesus Christ was born a Jew, and his Jewish brothers are his natural brothers as far as the physical end of it is concerned. It's what John meant when he said in John 1:11, he came unto his own kind, his own nationality, but his own received him not. The Jews would not have him. But as many as received him, that's the Gentiles, he gave unto them to become the sons of God. During the tribulation period prior to our Lord's return, get the timing again, while the tribulation period is going on, prior to the second coming of Christ, God will raise up Jewish missionaries to preach the gospel. In Matthew 24, just turn the page to verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and so forth. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now we need to take a moment of time and do a cross-reference in the last book of the Bible, and that's the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, which is a book all about the apocalypse, or the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 4, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we've sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I heard the number of them that were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. These are Jewish missionaries that God is calling to preach the kingdom during the tribulation period. They are of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Without enumerating, and to save time, verse 5 and following, he lists those tribes: Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtalim, Manasseh, Simeon, 12,000 from each tribe. 12 tribes be 144,000. The tribes of Benjamin were sealed, 12,000 and so forth. Now, that's going to take place. And what are they going to preach? They're going to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there are going to be some people that won't respond to that, and they're called goats. And they will give evidence to the fact that they don't believe that because of their negative response when the missionaries speak to them, and then they'll set out to persecute the missionaries, thus declaring themselves to be goats. To receive these missionaries and show kindness to them is to receive the message of the gospel which they preached. The sheep receive the message, whereas the goats do not. Rahab the harlot, remember her? Joshua, just before going in to possess the land of Canaan, sent into the land where Rahab lived two spies, and they got her home. and they talked with her, and immediately her eyes were opened and she received the message. And my dear friends, most the whole town was destroyed except Rahab and her family, because she received the message that they preached, that there was coming deliverance, which is a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When she had received the message, James 2:25 uses those exact words. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Doesn't mean by the things that she did, but when she had received the messengers, she sent them on another way. Rahab was not saved because she was hospitable, but because of faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31. You still with me? Some observations about sheep and goats. Don't run off. Some of the greatest blessings of life are those that we ran away from rather than face. Christ died for his sheep, not for his goats. In John chapter number 10, let's look at it. John chapter number 10, verses 11, 15, and 16. The Bible says in verse 11 of John 10, and Christ is speaking, either he is the way, the truth, or the life, or he's not anything. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, who said that? The Lord Jesus said that. Look at verse number 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for whom? For the sheep. Look at verse number 16. And other sheep, not some wolves mixed in there, not some goats mixed in there, but there's some other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And please notice the imperativeness of this statement. Them also I must bring. Why must he bring them? Because they're sheep. Why would he not bring in the goats? Because they're not his sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. There'll then be one fold and one shepherd. I'm not preaching anything that's new, my dear friends. I'm preaching to an age-old message in the Word of God about how God saves sinners. Christ came to seek and to save lost sheep. Where does the Bible say that? In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now give me your undivided attention. Lost refers to sheep, never to goats. Goats are never spoken of in the Bible as being lost. You cannot find one time where there was a lost goat, but lost sheep, only sheep. And guess what? Zacchaeus was a sheep. And he was hid up in a sycamore tree behind some leaves. And the Lord said, Zach, come on down. And one of the children heard that story and said, you know what? He came down so fast, he skinned the bark off of that tree. That's the reason sycamore trees don't have any bark on them today. He was after a sheep, and he always gets his man. The Lord Jesus Christ is never defeated, dear church. Not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You'll never find a Jesus Christ in the Bible who's trying to get something done, but people won't let him do anything. I tell you what, if he's after you, you'll be caught. And you will be brought in if you're one of his sheep. One of his sheep. Notice the shepherd looks for the lost sheep. Why does he look for the lost sheep? Because they're lost. They need to be found. And in Luke chapter 15, you have the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, and the parable of the lost sheep. In John chapter 10, verse number 16, that's borne out. Let me give you an illustration of this. On one occasion when Christ was getting ready to leave and go north up toward Palestine in a different area, it said he must needs go through Samaria. Now that did not mean that was the only way to get north from south where he was, but it meant that he had a sheep in Samaria he's going to pick up on the way. And that was the woman by the well of Samaria. So, well, how do you know she's a sheep? When the Lord got through with her, she went back into town and said, come see a man that told me all things, that whatever I did is not this the Christ, the Son of God. Talks like a sheep, doesn't she? In Psalm 119, 176, David on one occasion prayed this prayer. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Not a lost goat, but a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And one other to drive this truth home to your hearts this morning. Peter was told in a conversation that took place at the Galilee or the river or the sea of Tiberias. The disciples had fished all night and had not caught anything. And the Lord said, come and dine. And they came to the shore, enjoying a previously prepared fish dinner. The Lord did that himself. I've liked fish ever since I read that passage. Matter of fact, I kind of preferred catfish. If you ever invite me over, just get some catfish and I'll come for that. But in this conversation, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said, be sure you take care of my goats. He said, you feed my lambs. And then two times following that, he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you one of God's sheep? Are you one of God's sheep? What are the marks of the sheep of the Lord? There in that 10th of John, and we're going to take the time to look at it. It's very important because it bears the marks of sheep. Number one is believe on Christ. There's no such thing as a sheep rejecting the shepherd. They believe on Christ. In verse number 26 of John 10, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. And the inference there is, if you were of my sheep, you'd believe me. The sheep do not exercise a stubborn rebellion against God. The sheep love the shepherd. Second of all, they listen to the shepherd. In verse 27, the first part of that verse, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You know, I believe there's going to be a lot of Baptists in hell. Because Baptists don't listen to the voice of God. They listen to the voice of the NBC and CBS and all this junk that's going around today. Where's your source of truth? It comes from the Lord. God's sheep listen to what the Lord has to say. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Number three, they are known of the shepherd. The second part in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and guess what? They follow me. You don't have any problem about the sheep. It's a goat you have to watch out for. They follow the shepherd in verse number 27, verse C, which we just read. And then that they will live eternally. I give unto them to whom? to the sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They were given to Christ by the Father. Watch that, verse 29. My Father which gave them to me. The Father gave the Son the sheep before the foundations of the world. Not the goats, but the sheep. I'm glad I'm going a little fast because I got something I got to share with you. In the 17th chapter of John, please. Chapter 17, this is the intercessory prayer of Christ before going to Calvary. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. The model prayer is when he taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is truly the Lord's Prayer because the Lord Jesus is praying to the Father. Look at it. Verse number 2. Christ is talking to the Father, as you've given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Every soul that the Father gave to the Son is a sheep. And he's going to give eternal life to those that the Father has given him. Look at verse number 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. It just goes on. Verse number 9. I pray for them. Who does the Lord pray for? The goats? No, sir. Hey, you're getting quiet out there. He prays for the sheep. I pray for them whom the Father's given me. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. But I tell you, I pray for the sheep which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse number 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. That is, the sheep are still in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And verse number 12, which I just read, verse number 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Those whom thou hast given me, that they will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There are so many things that happen at the beginning of time till now that you and I don't know much about. But I can tell you, you really get into the deep things of God when you go to the things that happened before the foundations of the world. Before you and I were ever created, God the Father gave to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a number of people, and they were called sheep. And every sheep will be saved by the grace of God. Every one of them. I want to close to be as personal as I can and pointedly as I can with you about this. What were you before the Lord saved you? What were you before the Lord saved you? Now, I tell you, up until 1983, I had a stock answer for that. I knew exactly. Jack Hanks, of all people the Lord used to drop this bombshell on my ministry, Jack Hanks said, Brother Cozart, what were you? And what is a sheep before he's saved? I said, well, he's a goat. That won't square. Goats never become sheep. Okay? Not a goat. Goats never become sheep. You said you just said that. Get ready for it. I'm going to say it again. Goats never, never, never become sheep. What in the world do you think heaven would be like if you had a flock of sheep up there and a herd of goats up there? Come on. Sheep love the food the shepherd provides for them. Goats love cans and briars and thorns and thistles. And they'll butt you. And they cannot be in a following mode. They do not come, my dear friend, in flocks. Oh, look at that flock of goats. No, it's a herd of goats. They'll hit you from behind in a minute. Answer to the question, and the question I repeat, what were you before the Lord saved you? You were a lost sheep. You say, well, how much did I have to do with that? Not one thing. The Father gave you to Christ before you were ever born, and you're described as a lost sheep. And guess what? This has changed about it. You're no longer a lost sheep. You're a found sheep. I hope and pray that this might stimulate your thinking on the subject of the sheep and the goats. Let's stand, please. Dear Father in heaven, we could never in a million years thank you for your amazing grace. Why in this world, O God, would you give us to the Son as sheep? We had not even lived. And even if we had lived, Lord, we'd be totally depraved, so full of sin, so undeserving. But God, it pleased you to do so. And help your people today, not only here in our church at Grace, but all over this world, we have no other message than the message that Christ Jesus was received of the Father, the sheep that he would die for on the cross of Calvary. And he paid our sin debt, that we would be found from our lostness and come to know him and live for him and one day spend eternity with him. Father in heaven, if there are those present today that have never been saved, that have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, deal with them as sheep, and may they come. And Father, for the countless numbers of people, we have no way of knowing how many hundreds and thousands of people that have tuned into this broadcast today all over this world because of the communication we have. God, you have a people, and you're calling out that people. And we believe that thy will shall be done and all the sheep shall come in. And not only the Jewish sheep, but those of another flock, the Gentiles. And that's where we fit in, and we thank you for it. For we ask these things in Christ's name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Brother Roger, do you have a song for us, please?
Take your hymn book and turn with me to hymn number 3.
Now, before we sing it, if you're here today without Christ, you say, well, what's going to happen if I reject Christ? You're going to go to hell. You say, well, I don't want to go to hell. I want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe he died for my sins. You talk like a sheep. You see, it doesn't depend on what you do. It depends on what he did before you and I were ever born. And praise God for that. If you're here today without Christ, trust him. Look to him for salvation. Our church receives members 3 different ways. That's the reason we're a Baptist church. And we receive members who have followed the Lord in believers' baptism upon the profession of their faith. We receive them. Second of all, we receive